Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. On today's show, let's talk about financial freedom. You know, what exactly is that? You know, the whole concept of financial freedom, well, it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And I would venture to say that if I asked you, what does financial freedom mean to you? You might scratch your head. You might not be able to come up with an answer. See, a lot of us, we go through life in a state of quiet desperation. We have been told to do certain things in our life. We have been told that in order to get ahead, you have to become educated. You have to go to school. You have to get those good grades. And with those good grades, you have to either go into a college or a trade school, or maybe you just go right out into the workforce. But if you choose to go to college, or you choose to go to that vocational school, again, you're supposed to be working towards good grades. And then when you get out of those schools, you potentially go into the workforce. Now, some of you that go to college, you decide, you know what, I'm going to stick around and I'm going to get another degree. Maybe you went to school for engineering and when you finished engineering school, you decided, I want to know more about the business world. So you elect to get an MBA. In whatever case, you're putting yourself back into the situation of getting those good grades again, or at least trying to. And when it's all said and done, when the whole education piece is completed, you are positioned to get into the workforce. And the whole concept there is this: you compete to get the best job that you can. You may or may not find work in a career field that matches your educational background. I mean, I was looking at some stats earlier this week, and I was amazed. I don't remember what the actual number was, but I was amazed at the number of people that actually go to work in careers that have absolutely nothing to do with the background of the education that they pursued. It's an interesting concept. Anyway, you start on this road to working. And part of the concept of working is that you earn money by trading your time for things that may or may not be getting you to where you're trying to get to. Now, for a lot of us, when we first get into the workforce, we're just happy to have a job. I mean, we've lived off of macaroni and cheese. We've lived off of ramen noodles. A lot of you are smiling right now because you know exactly what I'm talking about. When you're a student, most students are poor. Now, I did go to school at a private university for my undergraduate degree. And I will admit, there were a lot of students there that came from well-to-do families. They didn't worry about money. They didn't worry about the fact that, you know, they had a beater car because they didn't have a beater car. They had a Beamer, to be honest with you. Now, me, I came from very humble beginnings. I came from, well, a lifestyle that was basically hand-to-mouth. My father's success, I'm trying to be nice here. I don't want to pick on my dad. I love my dad. He's been passed away for about 20 years now. But when I think back on the lifestyle that I had as a child, our lifestyle was basically fabricated around three basic needs. In other words, my father felt he was successful if he kept food on the table, if he kept clothes on our back, and he kept a roof over our head. That was success to him. You have to understand, my father grew up in the Depression. My father was an older father. I mean, I think I was when I was born, he was in his mid to late 30s. I think when my brother was born, he was in his 40s. So he grew up in a time period where the economy in America had collapsed, and it had collapsed due to speculation in the stock market. You know, the Great Depression of 1929 didn't just happen in 1929. It spilled over into follow-on years. So growing up in that era, he saw what scarcity looked like. He saw rationing coupons. He saw not having enough money to make ends meet. He saw people standing in lines for food. You know, that made an impression upon him. So one of the takeaways that he took out of that era was to be in a position of success in his mind that none of those things would impact him or his family. Now, I will tell you, he was successful in doing that. Now, we didn't have much money left at the end of the month. We didn't have the nicer things. We didn't have the finer things. We didn't go out to eat dinner. We didn't do a lot of things that, well, we in America get the opportunity to enjoy. So the lifestyle for me growing up was very meager. And to be honest with you, I didn't know much difference. I knew people that had money, but I didn't really interact with them, and they didn't necessarily interact with me. These are just kids that I went to school with. And, you know, it was what it was. When I got to college, I went to school with kids, well, young adults, that came from different lifestyles. And one of the things that I learned in college was that a lifestyle did not need to be meager in order to be successful. So when I think back on my lifestyle choices, there's a lot of stuff to talk about. And we're going to talk about lifestyle on today's show. We'll be back right after this.
Del Wamsley talks about finding that one thing that made sense for the lifestyle.
I looked at franchises. I looked at multi-level marketing. I looked at everything in the world. But nothing made as much sense as buying one simple little rental property.
Real estate is your best option. Real estate makes sense. Lifestyles Unlimited will teach you how to buy your first rental property. Join our live online free workshop to find out more. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
According to dictionary.com, lifestyle is a noun, and it means the way in which a person or group lives. So basically what they're saying is whatever you're doing right now for a lifestyle is a lifestyle. Now, in my particular case, as I mentioned in the previous segment, I started with very meager beginnings. Now, I didn't realize that I was living in meager beginnings. You know, based on how things were operating in my household, I thought everything was just fine. I lived in a house we rented. I had clothes on my back. I didn't have a lot of clothes, but I had usually enough clothes to get through the week without having to do laundry. I had food on the table. Now, sometimes food was ramen, sometimes food was macaroni and cheese or hot dogs or whatever you have, but I never went hungry. I had a place to play in the backyard. I had friends that I met in school, and you know, some of those friends I still have today. I've got a couple of friends that I met back when I was living a very, well, call it a meager lifestyle. And you know what? It had nothing to do. Their friendship was what I was trying to get at. Their friendship had nothing to do with the meager lifestyle I was living. You know, come to think of it, they were living a similar meager lifestyle also. But the key thing there was, it didn't matter back then. The lifestyle I was living was the lifestyle that my parents had decided or were that was they were only capable of providing at that time. It's just the way things were. Now, as I move through life. I got into college and I went to a private school. I went to the University of Southern California. I'll just throw it out there. Go Trojans, fight on. I was, well, one of those guys in a private school that had absolutely no money to his name. Now, I was able to go to school there because I had earned a four-year scholarship that the Army provided to me. It was an Army ROTC scholarship, and it paid for all my tuition. It paid for my fees. It basically paid for the educational costs associated with obtaining that education. And if I remember correctly, it also gave me $100 a month as a stipend. So the concept was that $100 a month stipend that I received was there for incidental expenses. Now, I had a slightly bigger problem because that scholarship did not provide for room and board. And where I went to school was 5 hours away from where my family lived. So I needed a place to stay. I needed room and board. I found myself in the dorms eventually, and I had to sign what was called a promissory note in order to get access to a place to live. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I think for the first 4 days I was at college, they had lost my housing application. I remember sitting outside of the housing office with other people that were in the same boat, and I had no place to live. I think one night I slept in my car. I think another night I had met somebody else who was in the Army ROTC program who was in a dorm, and that person's roommate had not reported for college yet, so I was able to crash there for a night because there was nobody there. And I don't know what I did the other nights, but eventually I got into a dorm room and I started interacting with other people from all across the nation, from all different walks of life, from all types of different economic backgrounds. And that's when I started to realize that maybe there was something a little bit more to the lifestyle than what I had thought. You know, I was raised to basically accept the fact that as long as your basic needs were met, that was good enough. And for a long time in my life, that was good enough for me. But when I got to college and I started interacting with other people that came from diverse backgrounds, and I started looking at the economic backgrounds that a lot of these individuals brought with them to college, I started to realize that maybe there was something more to it. Now, in college, what could I do to impact my lifestyle? Well, really, the only thing I could do was to go out and meet other people or to experience educational events where I had the ability to interact with other people. So, you know, my life was either, well, it's one in three places. It was either the people in my wing of the dorm that I got to know, or it was the people in the Army ROTC program I had gotten to know because the ROTC was a big part of what I was doing in college. Or was the people I got to know through the classes that I went to. And the one thing that kept coming back to me was that, not having money is not necessarily great. So as I went through college, you know, there were periods where I took out student loans, or there were periods where I was able to find a job to supplement my lack of income so that I could at least pay my housing bills. So when college ended for me, I think I wound up with, I don't know, somewhere in the neighborhood of $10,000 or maybe $12,000 worth of student loan debt. Now, I'll tell you what, for somebody that never had a credit card prior to college, who never had any real financial well-being outside of maybe having a paper route or working in fast food or having the ability to be a lifeguard in the summer months, you know, I didn't have a lot of money and I walked out of school with debt. Now, fortunately for me, because of the way I went to school, I was able to enter service in the United States Army. And I remember when the Army sent me away to a base, it happened to be Fort Lee, Virginia, to go through my initial officer training course. I remember showing up there expecting to live, you know, in open bay barracks or something like that, because that's what I had experienced all throughout ROTC. And what I found was this: the quality of life was a little bit different. I was provided a place to live. I didn't have to pay for it. The military provided me that. And I also started earning a paycheck. I started earning basic pay. I started earning allowances for subsistence and in this particular case, housing. I started getting an income stream that was had the ability to make a difference in my life. But I'll tell you what I did. That entire time I was there, I took all the money that I made and I paid off my student loan debt, because having that kind of, in my opinion, useless debt around my neck wasn't helping whatever I thought my lifestyle would be. So I got rid of that debt. And to be honest with you, I wasn't used to having that kind of money either. So, you know, it was like I was used to living off of, you know, $500 or $1,000 a month or whatever the number was back then. So I was able to eliminate that debt. And when I left Fort Lee, I started in a different place and I started a transition in my lifestyle. And we come back, I'll give you some more of the details of how that worked out.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. So in the earlier segments of the show, I was just kind of dumping my life in your lap. I was giving you, you know, what my lifestyle was growing up, what my lifestyle was in college. And then I got into the Army. And I'll tell you what, things changed for me once I got into the Army, because now I was starting to earn a paycheck. I was trading my time for money, and I was using that money to buy stuff, because my entire life, I had noticed that other people had stuff. They had things that I didn't have. They had things that I didn't have growing up. I mean, we had in growing up, you know, we had one car, and it was a used car that both of my parents used in order to get to work. I think my dad used to take the bus to work many times to free up the car for my mom to use. That was the lifestyle. But once I got into the Army and I started looking around at other people and I had paid off all my student loan debt, I realized that I wanted to change in my lifestyle. I wanted some of the what I considered finer things of life that I never had growing up. You know, I'd maybe get into a brand new vehicle that one of my fellow officers was driving around in, and I go, hey, this is pretty nice. This is a lot better than my, you know, 12-year-old beater car that I was driving at the time. I don't know if it was 12 years old, but it was old. It was definitely old. And what I did is I started buying stuff. I went out and bought myself a new car. And of course, I financed it. So I started taking on debt. And then I had credit cards. So I started doing other things. And I started, you know, going out to eat. I started going out to take trips, to do things that cost money that I was never able to do prior to that. And what I quickly found myself doing was putting myself into a lifestyle of spending more money than what I was making. It was very easy to do. It was probably like doing drugs, because, you know, it's a bad analogy, but I was hooked and I had to stop. And at a certain point in my life, I finally started realizing that my credit card debt was going up, that I was paying minimum payments, or I wasn't paying my credit cards off in full every month. And I was spending more money than I was making. So it got me into a little bit of a financial mess. Now, I was able to get myself out of that financial mess by starting to be a little bit more conservative with my spending habits and started living a lifestyle that was more applicable to my income stream. So I fixed a lot of that personal debt thing. It took me a little bit of time, and I got myself back on balance. Now, for me, retirement, well, that was in the bag because I was with the Army. I was going to do my 20-plus years in a career, and I would get a retirement check. So, you know, everything was good and dandy. And as I'm going through life, going through the motions of life, I met a beautiful woman who eventually became my bride. And what I realized was that the income that I was making was plenty for a single guy. I was making plenty of money. But when my wife and I, and she wasn't my wife at the time, but as we got closer to a point where we were going to get married and start living together, I realized that it was going to become a little bit more expensive to support my lifestyle, because now I had somebody else who I had to be concerned for. Now, she worked and she made money, but she didn't make as much money as I did. And she also had some financial things in her past, and I helped her to fix some of those things. Now, she didn't default on loans or anything like that, but, you know, we sat down and looked at the path we were going to go down, we realized that some of those expenses needed to go away and they needed to be paid off. So we did that. We took care of that. And, you know, along the way, I decided that she needed a new vehicle because she was driving a beater vehicle also. As a matter of fact, she started driving my newer vehicle and I started driving her beater vehicle. And that's when I realized we had to get another vehicle. And of course, you know, my mindset at that time was, I like new stuff. I'm tired of used stuff. I like new stuff, and new stuff costs more. And of course, you can finance it, yada, yada, yada. Well, as time went on, we decided that we were going to have a family, and we had a family. We have two great kids. But at that time frame, when my wife was pregnant, I was being transferred to another duty station. And as a result of that, we decided that her primary focus in our household would be to raise our children, that I would be the sole income provider. And based on that income, we would be able to sustain a family. And we did. We kind of went back to, you know, the standard of more month at the end of our money. And that happened to us a couple of times because, you know, I think at that time we were living in Southern California. It was expensive to live there. And we got by. We did get by. But when you make a decision, especially in today's economy where the expectation is that all households will be dual income providers, we made a decision that we would be a single income provider, and we did it for all the right reasons as far as we're concerned. And to be honest with you, our kids turned out wonderfully. So I think she did a phenomenal job in raising our kids and educating our kids and doing all the things that she did on behalf of our family. Well, time went on, and we were living a lifestyle that was becoming a little bit towards the meager side. And we continued to live that lifestyle for a long period of time. Now, I had made some investments in some real estate, and those investments weren't doing very well. They weren't producing the way they produce today. But we thought that was all a part of the lifestyle, that in order to achieve retirement, because now we were on the retirement bandwagon, we also got ourselves a financial planner who sat down and told us we had to take a certain amount of our money and we had to invest it into whole life insurance. We had to put a certain amount of our money into mutual funds. We were supposed to try and save 6 months worth of reserves, but we never got that 6 months worth of reserves. I think the best we ever did was maybe 2 months worth of reserves. But along the way, I invested in real estate thinking that was the way to go. And knowing what I know now, it wasn't the way to go. As a matter of fact, those investments that I made were very poor investments. And the reason I made poor investments was because I didn't really know what I was doing. I was listening to other people who thought they knew what they were doing, but they were doing the same thing that I was doing. Well, let's fast forward through life, and I got to a point where my career with the military came to an end. And at that point, I was officially retired from the military, and I had a pension that was going to come in. The problem was this: that pension coming in only paid one-third of what I was making. And all of those investments that we had made with our, you know, financial planner, they didn't really pan out, because when 2008 happened, we wound up taking money out of our mutual funds because we didn't, you know, the market was collapsing. We took that money out to help pay the mortgages on the real estate that we had invested in incorrectly, and it created just a financial catastrophe for us. When we come back from the break, I'm going to give you the good side of the story. I've spent three segments telling you doom and gloom or mediocrity. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to get into what has happened in the last 3 years. We'll be back right after this.
Here's Lifestyles Unlimited founder and CEO, self-made multimillionaire, and national radio host, Del Walmsley, on getting the information you need to get through this.
So you ask yourself, isn't this the wrong time to get out of the stock market? Very well could be. But maybe it might go down. And then you ask yourself, man, if I would have had some of that money, I could have used it. People are going to be afraid. And the people who are in the real estate that are losing money are going to be afraid. And they're going to want to get out. And when they do, we're going to be able to go in and buy at very advantageous prices that are going to change our family's future, quite honestly. So you need information on how to do that. You need the knowledge of how to get through this. You need to get into Lifestyles right now.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the seven principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
So I got to the age of 50 years of age. I spent half a century alive on this planet, and I stepped away from a career, not because I wanted to, but because it was time for me to step away from the career based on the needs of the Army. So I found myself, well, without employment and having to live off of a retirement check that was one-third of what I had been making. And to make things worse, in my mind, I was retired. But when I looked at the financials, I wasn't anywhere close to retired. As a matter of fact, I had a huge problem on my hands because I had developed a lifestyle, but then I had no way to fund that lifestyle. See, I had spent an entire military career buying stuff or making investments in things that I thought were going to get me, you know, to a certain point in my life. And in that magical time when I retired, and the harsh reality that I wasn't ready to retire overwhelmed me, I realized I had to go back into the workforce. And that wasn't where I wanted to be. That wasn't where my mindset was at the time. But I did it. I finally found employment and I went back to work. And I'll tell you what, I was miserable. I'll be honest with you. You know, in the time from leaving the military to going back to work, it was a tough time for me. It was a very difficult time. And what I learned was that the things that I had been doing for the first 50 years of my life had not successfully prepared me for retirement. It didn't. Now, some of you might think, well, Al, you said you sold your mutual funds, you did this, you should have listened to your financial planner. Nah, because I'll tell you what, the roadmap the financial planner had us on basically had us, you know, dreaming that we were going to have the million-dollar house, and we were going to have the expensive boat, and we were going to have the nice, fine cars, and we were going to live this magical lifestyle. And, you know, we believed that false truth for a long time. We believed that we were going to be fine, that we would get to a point and everything would work out as it should. And the harsh reality was this: nothing worked out the way it should have. Things happened in the past that caused us to make decisions based on what was going on, conditioned on market forces that we had no control over. And because we had not been properly educated on how to invest in real estate, we made some very costly mistakes. We did. It's just the way it is. We were listening to people who were giving us advice that, and the advice was not valid. It was not good advice. And part of that is, you know, you get advice from a lot of different places and you start to wonder what's good and what's bad. You really start to wonder that. Well, I got back to work. You know, the damage had been done financially, and I started working, and I realized as I started working that I was probably going to have to work until I was well past the age of 65. As a matter of fact, when I sat down and put pen and paper together, I really thought I was going to have to go until the age of 70. You know, or my wife was going to have to go back to work, and we didn't want that. We did not want that for my wife. So we were in a rock and a hard place. Well, along the way, we found Lifestyles Unlimited. And one of the things that we learned from Lifestyles Unlimited is that there is actually a definition of lifestyle. There is a definition that I had not heard in 50 plus years of my life. My definition of lifestyle was based on what I observed of other people or what I was told by people. And then I started looking at the definition of lifestyle according to Lifestyles Unlimited. And money is important. You have to have the income streams coming in, but those income streams need to be passive. See, the process I was working off of was the income streams had to be active. In other words, I had to be actually out there going and doing the work to get the money, because that's what I had known my entire life. But it's also about family. Now, family was very important to me, and I'll tell you, there were times in the military where I was taken away from my family. I didn't get opportunity to spend with my family, but I was focused on my job. I was focused on my career. My family suffered as a result of that. My family no longer suffers as a result of that. Fitness. Now, with the military, I had no choice but to be fit. I mean, that was a condition of continued employment. If you didn't prove that you meet certain fitness standards, they got rid of you. All right, so my fitness was always a priority to me. But I found after I left the military, I had a lot of health problems that erupted because of the lifestyle I had been living. It's just the way it is. So, you know, fitness got completely off track. Now, fitness is back on track for me, but it's not at the level that it used to be in my younger years. Can't be, because I'm 56 years of age. My fitness standards are different than what they were, you know, 20, 30 years ago. Wealth. I had that all screwed up. I didn't understand the concept of wealth. We didn't have wealth. We had a paycheck. That's what we had. And sometimes we had more month at the end of our money. So I was able to understand that wealth is important. Wealth is that building block. See, that was the piece that was missing from when I was in college and I saw all these people that were well-to-do. I didn't understand that they had wealth, or at least I perceived that they had wealth. Well, I have wealth now, and I focus my investments on helping me to maintain and improve my wealth. Career? Well, I had that all out of balance too, because my career was my life. I had prioritized my career ahead of my family, and I'll tell you what, that was a costly mistake. Now, career, not worried about it. Don't particularly care about it. So, but it is something that I had to sit down and think about. Charity. We give more money and time to charity now that I've achieved the place of retirement in my life. And I did that a little over a year ago. We're able to do the things that are important to us, to affect the things that we think are very important, to help causes that we believe are important to, you know, our lifestyle and legacy. If I had been continuing my real estate investing the way I had been doing it prior to becoming a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, there really would be no legacy to leave to my kids. What I would eventually leave them is three duplexes that were, you know, not financially solvent, not doing the things that they should have done. They would have had negative cash flow, and they were being operated incorrectly. Now, those assets are performing the way they're supposed to perform because we learned the correct way to do these things. And more so, we have
investments in multifamily communities that are producing income streams. They're producing wealth. They're producing all the things that they're supposed to do, even in this COVID-19 environment. And, you know, when I sat down and I said, what is the lifestyle for me right now? Well, I'll tell you what, before my family was subordinate to other things. Now my family is not subordinate to other things. My family is extremely important to me, and I focus on my family. Things like scuba diving. I love to scuba dive. It's an expensive sport, but I do it and I can afford to do it. I love doing it. It's a sport that I share with my son. He and I are both into scuba diving. We love it. I don't drive beater vehicles anymore. When we buy a vehicle, we buy a new vehicle. That's just the decision we made. And we have the resources now to be able to do that and to continue to do that. Now, we don't just go out and buy a new vehicle every 2 or 3 years. We buy a vehicle and we drive it. We get more than its useful life out of it. But that's the way we do things. You know, we're able to go out and do things in the outdoors on a regular basis. I love to fish. I love to hunt. I like to go kayaking. I like to go to the lakes. I love scuba. So I'm able to go out and do these things. You know, I really enjoy barbecuing. I do. I do enjoy barbecuing. And I've got a great setup in my backyard for barbecuing or smoking meats or whatever I want to do. I have everything that I need in order to do that. And the key thing is this: by restructuring our thought process, by actually learning what a lifestyle is and should be, it's made all the difference in the world. A little over a year ago, we hit that threshold where our passive investments or our passive income was exceeding our expenses in our household. And I achieved retirement. It was a wonderful day. And ever since then, the days keep getting better and better and better. So let me just ask you the question. What is the lifestyle and what does it mean to you? Now, I want you to think about that over the weekend. And what I want you to really understand is that there is a different way to approach the lifestyle. And we can help you get there at Lifestyles Unlimited. Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and check us out. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.